Morning, everyone. Today's daf from Sukkah, daf Gimel. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf Lubin Learn, Zechel Nishmat, Lois Lubin Zaltzman. We are on the bottom of Beis Amid Beis, just to finish the daf yesterday, so I just quickly ran and read the end of the daf, but truth of the matter is we're going to back up and we're going to start again from the word Meisve. Before we start with the word Meisve, Meisve is a question that the Gemara is going to challenge, so let's just do a quick review of yesterday's daf, just in its entirety. The Mishnah told us that a sukkah can't be higher than 20 amos. The Mishnah says that if a sukkah is higher than 20 amos, so it's puzzle, it's no good. As we pointed out yesterday, the real definition of a sukkah is a schach. Schach is really the defining point of the sukkah. So the smattering of the leaves and branches that we put over the top of the sukkah really is the defining point of the sukkah. That's the definition of the sukkah. Rashi said it already a couple times in yesterday's daf, and we're going to go over that yesod a number of times. So so if your schach is above 20 amos, so that's no good. The Mishnah says it's possible. Okay, the Gemara yesterday pointed out the Mishnah Erevin, which deals with another height related halacha, doesn't say the word puzzle. It says yimat, just lower it. And why doesn't our Mishnah speak it a little more gently, a little more softly? So the Gemara answered up in terms of that. But we have this halacha, and first of all, why minahani milia? The Gemara says, how do we know this? How do we know that sukkah can't be higher than 20 amos? So we saw yesterday three opinions in the Gemara amongst the Amoraim. So first we had the position of Rabba. Rabba says it has to do with the idea. You have to have a knowledge base that you're in a sukkah. In other words, you have to be aware that you're in a sukkah. Now, seeing the walls in front of you, that's fine, but that's not the sukkah. The sukkah is the schach. So you have to know that you're covered by schach. So above 20 amos, you don't know anymore. You lack that knowledge. You lack that awareness. But if it's lower than 20 amos, you're still in a state of awareness. That's one shot. And again, he gets it from the pasuk in Parshas Emor, Laman Yedu Darasechem. You should know. And he understands. And the Gemara pointed out yesterday, it's not pshuto shel mikra, it's not the simple pshat, but you should know, you should have a personal knowledge that you are surrounded by the schach. The schach is above you. A second pshat offered is that you need to be sitting under the shade of the schach. And when the schach is above 20 amos, you're no longer under the shade. The sun always comes in at some angle. The sun is never directly over your head. There's no perpendicular line between the schach and the sun. So there's always going to be some sort of angle. And if there's not enough schach, if there's a little amount of schach, and the schach is very high, so you're no longer going to be enjoying the shade of the schach. And the definition of schach is that it has to provide for you shade. So if it's too high and the area is too small, so then it doesn't provide for you the shade. That's the second pshat, and that was given by Rebbe Zeira. And then the third pshat, which is offered by Rava, says that it has to be a temporary structure. Anytime you build an edifice that's over 20 amos, it can't be a temporary structure. It's going to be, by definition, a permanent structure. But once it's lower than 20 amos, at least potentially, it could be a temporary structure. So another reason why, a third reason why, the sukkah cannot be higher than 20 amos. Okay, so we have a Mishnah, and we have three explanations of this halacha in the Mishnah. Note that Rav Yehuda disagrees, for whatever reason. But Rav Yehuda, well, not for whatever reason, the Gemara later on will provide maybe a reason for Rav Yehuda, but Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda allows a sukkah to be above 20 amos. Okay, that's an important point. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Okay, could there be any qualification? Meaning, could it be that the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda agree that when you build your sukkah above 20 amos, it would be okay, even according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah? So yesterday the Gemara entertained three possibilities where even the Chachamim would say that's okay. So one possibility the Gemara says yesterday was, what if your sukkah is, if the walls of the sukkah are touching the schach? So in other words, there's a meeting of that angle between the wall and the schach. So according to one Amora, who quotes it, every one of them quoting the name of Rav. So according to one Amor, Rav Yoshi Amarav says that once the defanos are magios the schach, once they hit the schach, so then it could be above 20 amos. Why? Because once the walls are touching the schach, so now you're going to have that continuous awareness. It's like I mentioned yesterday, like we're sitting in a room. Now it happens to be that the ceiling above our head is only 10 feet off the ground, approximately. So, but even if we were higher, as long as the wall is hitting the ceiling, we're going to have that awareness. Once there's a space between the wall and the schach, and once that schach is above 20 amos, so then we're going to lose that awareness. So the Gemara points out that that's one possibility. And that is the understanding of Rav Yoshi Amarav. And as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, he's going in the thought process of Rabba, that it has to do with Yediyah. Then another suggestion of the Gemara, offered by Rav Hun Amarav, is that once the sukkah is larger, it's wider than 4 by 4 amos, So then there's no disagreement. Why? So as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, because he goes like Rabbi Zeira, and he's of the opinion that the whole purpose of the schach is to provide shade. So once the area of the schach is greater than 4 by 4 amos, so even though it's going to be higher than 20 amos, but at the middle of the day, you're still going to enjoy some of the shade provided by the schach. So the Gemara says that's another qualification. And a third qualification, another time where the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda would agree. And the third opinion of the Gemara yesterday, this was offered by Rav Chanan bar Rabba, was that if it's anything greater than a sukkah katana, the minimum size sukkah, which we'll be discussing in today's daf, is going to be a sukkah that only holds your head, the majority of your body, and a table, which linearly speaking is 7 by 7 tefachim, a very small structure. Any sukkah larger than that, the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda would agree that it could be higher than 20 amos. According to Rav Chanan bar Rabba, any sukkah bigger than a sukkah katana, there's no debate between the Chacham and Rav Yehuda, it could be higher than 20 amos. Okay? We noted yesterday, who's he following like? Whose thought process is he following like? So we pointed out yesterday, the Gemara said, none of the above, meaning your choices are not going to be A, B, or C, but rather your choice is going to be D. No, he's not following Rabba. He's not following Rabbi Zeira. He's not following Rava. So then that, of course, led us to wonder, so who is he following? Whose thought process is he following? So we quoted yesterday Tosos. Tosos says maybe he's following the idea that when a sukkah that small and that high no longer is considered a sukkah, it's considered a chicken coop. Okay, that's what Tosa says yesterday to explain this opinion. Okay, Adkan. All right, good. So we have a Mishnah, Machlok is between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, three explanations in terms of why it can't be higher than 20 amos, and the Amud Beis of yesterday's Gemara dealt with three possible times where the Tanakam would agree with Rabbi Yehuda that it could be higher than 20 amos. So far, so good, and Meis Fei. So what we're going to do today is we're going to take one step backwards. We're going to start now about 15, 20 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It starts Meis Fei, the beginning of the word. The beginning of the line begins with Amos. And the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa. Sukkah shigavol amala me'asri ma'am apsul. If the sukkah is higher than 20 amos, it's puzzle. Okay, good. The Braisa is much like our Mishnah. Can't be higher than 20 amos. Rav Yehuda machshir ad arba'im v'chamishim. Rav Yehuda says it could be 40 amos, it could be 50 amos high. Basically, loosely stated, it could be as high as you want it to be. I'm a Rabbi Yehuda, and so now the Braisa gives us dialogue. Well, we're going to actually see a give and take between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. So the dialogue goes like this: I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. Maisa be Hiloni Amalka, but Lord. So there was an incident with Hiloni Amalka, one of the queens during the Second Temple. Shahaisa Sukasa Gvoa Me Esrim Ama. So her sukkah was higher than 20 amas. The elders, the Talmid Chachamim, walked in and out of her sukkah v'lo amru lo davar, and they said nothing to her. Good. Amru lo. So the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Raya, well, what kind of proof are you bringing? Isha Yisab Peter Minasukkah. First of all, as far as the Ilonia Malka is concerned, she's great. She's meticulous. She performs mitzvahs. That's great. But she's not obligated in sukkah. So you can't point to her sukkah and say, well, that has to be a kosher sukkah. It doesn't have to be a kosher sukkah. She's unobligated to sit in a kosher sukkah. So Amar Lahem, so the response back from Rav Yehuda was, okay, I'm not going to argue with you on that point, but she did have 7 sons. V'halo sheva banim hayula. V'od kol ma'aseh lo aseh al pi chachamim. So she had 7 sons, and they're obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah. And anything she did al pi chachamim. She followed not only the Torah law, but she followed rabbinic law as well. Now, the Gemara says that last point of Rav Yehuda, how is that germane to our discussion? Meaning, not only does she follow Torah law, she follows rabbinic law. Okay. So, lama lemisne v'o kamaseh lo asa ala pichachamim. So, the Gemara is wondering, what does that have to do with anything? So, hachi kamalahu. So, the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda was anticipating another point and preempting. Ki somru banim ketanim hayu. She had 7 sons. Okay, what were their ages? So look, let's assume that no multiples. Let's assume that they came a year apart. So basically, you're talking where the oldest is 7. Okay, so ketanim p'tum in a sukkah. So a 7-year-old. Okay, so that's such a child is exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. Kevin deshiva havu yafshar dol havu bu chashenu tzarach lima. But the oldest is 7, right? Big boy. Right, already at the point in life where there's a mitzvah of chinuch, where one has to educate the child how to sit in the sukkah. Now, this obligation of chinuch is a din derabanan. Oddly enough, interestingly enough, it's not a din d'oraisa, it's a din derabanan. Only requiring the child to sit in the sukkah on a derabanan level. So now, let's take stock. So we have a sukkah that may not be built to specification. So as far as Iloni Amalka is concerned, so she's a woman, so she's exempt from sitting in the sukkah. And as far as her children are concerned, so at least from a Torah standpoint, none of her children are obligated to sit in a sukkah. So why does she need to build the sukkah to specification? So the Gemara says, that's exactly why we brought in the point of, now does she follow Torah law, but she follows rabbinic law as well. And maybe you'll argue that, okay, the mitzvah of chinuch is a din derabanan, maybe she hasn't accepted that part of Yiddishkeit. So tashma v'kamaseh lo asel api chachamim. So the Gemara says, that's it. Meaning, no, she follows rabbinic law as well, so at least midrabanan, her seven-year-old, is going to have to sit in a sukkah, midrabanan, rabbinically, through the mitzvah of chinuch. So the Gemara says, so she would build a sukkah to specification. Okay, period. That, I mean, really the Braisa ended earlier, the Braisa just clarified what was the second point, but no, okay, now we have the facts on the ground. So what are the facts on the ground? So first of all, nothing changed regarding Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. They are entrenched in their debate, in their position. Tanakam says that a sukkah cannot be higher than 20 amos. Rav Yehuda says it can be higher than 20 amos. And then the Braisa said, and let's look at the sukkah of Hiloni Amaka. Clearly higher than 20 amos, Chachamim were walking in and out, made no pronouncement that this is a bad sukkah, right? Giving a tacit agreement to the sukkah. Okay, good. So Rav Yehuda says, you see, I'm right. And the Chachamim says, you see, nothing. Right? No evidence can be drawn from Hiloni's sukkah. She's a woman. And then the Rav Yehuda's response is, yeah, but what about her sons? And that's where the Braisa ends. Okay, good. Now the Gemara notes, now, yesterday's daf, which we're still on, but yesterday's daf brought us three qualifications where the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Yehuda. If the walls touch the schach, according to one amora, the Chachamim would agree it could be higher than 20 amos. If the sukkah is wider than 4x4 amos, the Chachamim agree that it could be higher than 20 amos. If the sukkah is wider than just the base minimum, the Chachamim agree that it could be higher than 20 amos. So now the Gemara says, so let's take all those opinions and plug it into this case. We're talking right now about a sukkah of a queen. She's a very wealthy woman. So the Gemara says, let's try to picture what her sukkah looks like. And the Gemara does exactly that. Bish lama laman darma bishen tefanos megillas l'schach machlokes, darka shamakale she besukkah shen tefanos megillas l'schach, mishum avira. So the Gemara says, I have no problem envisioning that her sukkah had the walls not touching the schach. Circulation, some air, it's a big sukkah. So I have no problem envisioning that the walls did not actually go up to the schach. That's fine. And the reason why that's fine is because, as we know, according to one opinion, yesterday's daf, according to Rav Yoshi Amarav, the only time the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda debate is when the walls don't touch the schach. So the Gemara says, I could see that. I could see that with her sukkah, that the walls don't touch the schach, and that's why there would be a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. But Elamanda Amar Besukah Katana Machlokas Vichidarka Shamakaleshe Besukah Katana. But let's go over the second and third qualifiers that we saw yesterday. According to Rav Huna, once the sukkah is greater than 4x4 amos in area, even the Chachamim say you can build it as high as you want. And according to Rav Chanan Bar Abba, as long as the sukkah is bigger than the base minimum, even the Chachamim say you can make it as high as you want. So the Gemara says, what's going on now? We're talking about the sukkah of Hiloni Amaka. She's a queen. I'd venture to guess that her sukkah is greater than, certainly than the base minimum. I would also venture to say that her sukkah is greater than 4x4 amos. 4x4 amos, 8x8 foot sukkah. All right, my sukkah is a little bit bigger than that. I'd imagine Hiloni Amaka's sukkah is bigger than that. So the Gemara says, and if that's true, meaning based on that assumption, so then there should be no debate in the Braisa. Then we should have the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda basically saying, it's fine. Her sukkah is higher than 20 amos? Yeah, that's fine because the base area of the sukkah is greater than certainly the base minimum and certainly and probably bigger than 4x4 amos. So why is there a debate in the Braisa between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda? That's the Gemara's problem. Now again, the Gemara's problem is not between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda. They have their position, they're entrenched in their position. The problem is with the Amoraim yesterday, Rav Huna and Rav Chana bar Abba, who say that once the Sukkah area is bigger than either 4x4 or then the base minimum, so then there's no debate. So why is the Brice here presenting a debate? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara suggests an answer. Amar Rava baravada lo nitzucha elala Sukkah ha'asuya Ketonios, ketonios. So the first attempt of the Gemara is saying, well, maybe, again, we're just speculating right now what exactly her sukkah looks like. Maybe, says the Gemara, her sukkah is compartmentalized. Meaning it's a big structure, but there's no one large room in the sukkah. The sukkah is basically it's segmented into small rooms, all one leading into another. The Gemara says, the Gemara says again, well, she's a queen, this is a royal sukkah. Granted, we discussed yesterday it has to be a DRSRI, but it's just hard to imagine that that's what a sukkah is going to look like, and her sukkah doesn't have one central open area. Hard to imagine. I'm Rav Ashkelon. It's Ruchah Ella LeKetoni Yeshabah. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're just going to modify this picture, this visual that we're trying to create right now. Fine. You walk into Hiloni sukkah. It's huge. It's an open area, and then off to the side are like private rooms. Okay, so this is the Gemara's now new visualization of Hiloni Sukkah, and the Gemara is now going to assume that Hiloni herself was sitting in one of the rooms. And let's assume that those rooms were small. How small exactly? I'll get to in just a second. That's Rashi, it's coming up, but let's assume that they're small. Hiloni's sitting in one of those rooms, and those rooms are narrow rooms, side rooms, with really high ceilings, higher than 20 amos. So now, here we go now with the debate between the Chacham and Rav Yehuda. As far as a large central room is concerned, it's large. It could be higher than 20 amos. But as far as the rooms off to the side are concerned, okay, so now we can have a debate. And the Gemara explains the debate. Rabbanan Savri Banei Besukah Ma'aliyah HaVayasveh. So the Chacham will say, look, Hiloni sitting in the side room, that's fine. She's a woman. She's not obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah. So that's fine. And where were her sons sitting? They weren't sitting in the side rooms, because the side rooms are not kosher, are not qualified for a sukkah. The ceilings are too high. So they're sitting in the main area of the sukkah, in the large central area of the sukkah. She's sitting off to the side because of tznius. And Rav Yehuda Savar, Baneha Gaba Havu Yasvei, and Rav Yehuda is going to argue this: the kids were sitting with her in the side room, and because the kids were sitting with her in the side room, Vafilo Hachilo Amrla Davar, and still the Chachamim said nothing to her, even though she has sons, even though the sons are sitting in the side room, even though the oldest of those sons is 7 years old, and he's obligated in the mitzvah of Sukkah Midrabanan because of the mitzvah of Chinuch, and the Chachamim were fine with it. Why? Because Rav Yehuda says, because I'm right. Because it's fine, because a sukkah can be higher than 20 amos.
Well, why can't you say
Vishinat Hamlevanecha is the source for Torah? It's Torah source for the father having to teach Torah to his son. But in terms of chinuch for the other mitzvos, so that's there's no. It's a din derabbanan. It's not a din deraisa. And then, if you want to know a little bit more, I only know a little bit more, so I'm going to share with you what I know. You want to know a little bit more? So there's a basic machlokus in terms of the mitzvah of chinuch. Is it on the parent or is it on the child? Right. That's a major debate. The Gemara in Brachos in the seventh parak. We saw that between Rashi and Tosfos. Okay. Anyway, it limits it to a din derabbanan. Okay, one very technical point, but let's go over it. Rashi goes over it, and that's the following. The Gemara now has just concluded that the entire, we've just now painted a picture of Hiloni Sukkah. There's a main central room, which is large, and then there are rooms off to the side. And the Gemara said that here are the givens. Hiloni was off to the side room. According to the Chachamim, it's not a kosher sukkah. According to Rav Yehuda, it is a kosher sukkah. But again, the Chachamim will tell you, so what? She could sit in a non-kosher sukkah, that's fine. And where were her sons situated? That's the debate between the Chacham and Rav Yehuda. The Chachamim will say that the sons were sitting in the main, where there it can be, again, according to Rav Huna, and according to Rav Chanan bar Abba, it can be higher than 20 amos. And and according to Rav Yehuda, no, the sons were sitting off in the side room together with her. And still, the Chachamim didn't protest. Okay. A technical point, but one that Rashi takes into consideration, and that is the following. She has seven sons. The seven sons are cramped into, according to Rabbi Yehuda, are cramped into the room together with her. Right? And as we noted, it's a side room. It's smaller. Well, how small is it? So, according to Rav Huna, that side room is 4 by 4 amas. So one can easily envision, it's tight, very tight, but an 8 by 8 foot area, so can you fit eight people there comfortably? Okay, I don't know about comfortably, but they could fit. And mind you, by the way, it's not eight adults, it's one adult and seven children. Okay, fine. So one can imagine. But according to Rav Chanan bar Abba, how big a room is the side room? So it's the base minimum. It is 7 by 7 tefachim. 7 by 7 tefachim is somewhere in the ballpark of 28 by 28 inches. Basically, a 2 by 2 foot area. So Rashi is bothered by a really simple question. It's a pragmatic question. According to Rav Chanan bar Abba, how is Iloni Amalka and her seven sons fitting into such a tiny room? Okay. And so Rashi attempts to give an answer, but Rashi ultimately ends up saying, it's the Rashi Divra Maschal Rav Yehuda Savar. Rashi ends up saying, I can't envision it. I mean, it's impossible to envision that Hiloni and her seven sons are fitting into a base minimum sukkah, which is 7 by 7 tefachim. And therefore, Rashi says that even when the Gemara is defending, really the Gemara is only defending the Rav Huna approach, that the machlokis is by dal amos, but the Gemara doesn't end up defending Rav Chanan bar Rabba. And that if the sukkah is 7 by 7 tefachim, once the sukkah is greater than 7 by 7 tefachim, there's no machlokis, but the machlokis is only when the sukkah is the base minimum of 7 by 7 tefachim, the Gemara really can't defend its position because there is no way that Hiloni and the seven sons could be fitting in such a small room. Okay, that's Rashi over there. If you want more, if you want to see more about this issue, take a look at the first Tosos over here, where he presents his idea of how Hiloni and the seven sons could be fitting into one room. See Tosos over there for a discussion. It's the top Tosos in the Upload. I know it's short, but actually, the truth of the matter is it's complicated because of the Girsa. Okay, but anyway, we move on. Okay, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Halacha Tzricha Shetei Machzekes Rosh Aruba V'Shochano. Okay. Now we talk about the basement and the area of a sukkah. Meaning yesterday's daf was really dedicated to the topic of height, right? The maximum height of a sukkah, 20 amos. And now we're going to be discussing the minimum area length by width. So what is the minimum area? So the Gemara doesn't speak now in terms of linear terms. The Gemara now speaks into what should it hold? What should the sukkah be able to hold? So Rav Shmuel, so Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Halacha, he says the accepted halacha is tzrichah shetei machzekes rosh arubo v'shulchano. So the base minimum area of a sukkah is that it should hold your head, the majority of your body, and a table. Okay. I mentioned yesterday, if we could take a look at the desk that's right in front of me right now. So as an area, this is going to be shorter than 2 feet. This is longer than 2 feet. But basically, just to give us like some sort of idea of what we're talking about, basically, this desk over here. Okay, I don't like the length of it; it's too long. Right? And this desk is a little too small. But something in this area. Okay, now, as far as your head and the majority of your body is concerned, that we kind of understand. Meaning, the sukkah has to be able to hold you. Right? That I think is pretty clear. Why the majority of your body? Because, as we've discussed a number of times in halacha, once you got the majority in there, it's considered as if you're in there. Okay, you don't need or your entire body to fit in, you need the majority of your body to fit in. Now, right, it's true to the point that in the good old days they used to lie down horizontally, so it does spread you out a little bit more, but fine, okay. But anyway, but it's your head and the majority of your body. Okay. I don't know why, to be honest with you, why the head and the majority of your body are separate from one another, why they're separate entities, meaning we don't function well without our head. So I don't really follow that, but fine. What about the table? Meaning, is the table a necessary component to the sukkah? Meaning, you have to sit in the sukkah. Is there an obligation for your table to sit in your sukkah? I mean, that's rather silly. The table's an inanimate object, not obligated in mitzvahs. So, but, again, one can easily argue that, well, without a table, what are you going to be doing in the sukkah? Meditating, right? Contemplating. So, in other words, the purpose of sitting in the sukkah is to live in the sukkah. And, to make the most basic living facility, so you need a table. Fine. So the smallest table. Now, I told you that basically in terms of linear measurement, it translates into 7 by 7 tefachim. Where do I get that from? Is it the Gemara? I hope so, because I'm convinced that I'm right. I guess we'll find out. Anyway, what we don't know at this point in time is the following. There's a Mishnah later on in the Masechta. If you want to look ahead, you can take a look at Daf Chav Ches 28, where the Mishnah over there brings a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding a sukkah that Mishaya Rosha Veruba Besukkah Vishochano Besoch Habayis. Let's say you have a sukkah. The sukkah is adjacent right to your house. You're sitting in the sukkah, but the table's in your house. Good or no good? So the Mishnah brings down a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says no good, and Beis Hillel says it's good. Okay, now, stay tuned. Hold that Mishnah right now on cue, and let's come back to our Gemara over here. So our Gemara says that a minimum sukkah has to be Rosho Rubo V'Shulchano. That is the psak that's given by Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. So to which the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Abba Kaman Ka Beis Shammai. Well, hold on 1 second. Well, who is that going like? That's going like Beis Shammai? So Amalei, Ella Kaman. So he answers in perhaps the most Jewish way imaginable. He says, well, who do you think it's going like? Otherwise stated, yes. So Igadami, now a slightly different version of this dialogue. Amar Rabbi Abba Damar Lachamani. So Amalei Beis Shammai Hivalo Tazos Mina. So instead of answering with a question, he answers very directly and says, it's Beis Shammai, and don't budge, don't move away, meaning it is Beis Shammai. This is one of those areas where we pass like Beis Shammai. Okay, normally, what do we say? Hamachlok is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Who is the halacha fall like? Beis Hillel. But this is one of those instances, rare instances, where the halacha fall is like Beis Shammai. That the minimum Beis Sukkah has to be an area of Rosho Rubo Vishulchano. It's got to include the table as well. There's a Tosis over here, again, just to point it out, not going to go through it, but Tosis over here, second Tosis on the Amud, goes over other areas and shots where we possibly, like Beis Shammai. It's an unusual phenomena. It happens, if I'm not mistaken, Tosis goes over 6 occasions where we possibly, like Beis Shammai. Fine. So the Gemara says, first of all, are you sure you understand that Mishnah correctly? In other words, all this is really based on a Mishnah on Chav Ches. Do you really think that you know that you got that Mishnah good? Okay, go on. Maybe the machlokas has nothing to do with sukkah katana. Maybe the machlokas has to do with sukkah gedola. Has to do with a large sukkah. And what's the issue? Kagon. Maybe what you're doing is you're sitting at the edge of your sukkah. It's a huge sukkah. You're sitting at the edge, right up against your house, meaning the sukkah is adjacent to your house. It's contiguous to your house. And you're sitting right at the edge, but you're in the sukkah. And the table that you're eating on is a table in your house. And Beis Shammai is of the opinion that I'm concerned. Meaning, I know right now you're sitting in your sukkah, but you know that food you're eating may be good. There's that good possibility. And you're going to get excited. And you're going to lean over. And by you leaning over, you're going to be outside your sukkah. And Beis Shammai says, I'm so worried about that. I'm telling you that you can't do that. I'm telling you that you haven't fulfilled your mitzvah of sukkah as a gzera de rabbanan. And Beis Hillel says no such gzera. Meaning maybe that's the entire machlokas in that mishnah on Chav Ches, having nothing to do with the minimum dimensions of a sukkah. V'deka nami dektani, and the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, I think we're right. I think that the mishnah over there has nothing to do with the minimum sukkah, but rather has to do with a large sukkah. Where you're at the edge of the sukkah, eating at a table, on a table that's not even in the sukkah. Look at the wording of the Mishnah. Look at the formulation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that your head and the majority of your body are in the sukkah, and your shulchan is in your house. Now, if we're right, so what should be the language of the Mishnah? Machzekes. The focus of the Mishnah should be on the sukkah. Your sukkah can only hold you and the majority of your body, according to Beis Hillel. The sukkah can only hold you and the majority of your body and a table, according to Beis Shammai. The Mishnah doesn't use such formulation. So it sounds like this, the Mishnah over there has nothing to do with sukkah katana. It has to do with the sukkah gedola. and a gzeira and a rabbinic decree whether or not you may lean too much into your table. So the Gemara says, but I hear you, your point is well taken, but let me show you a couple of braisas. Here's one braisa. Machzek is Rosh Aruba v'shachanuk shera. If the sukkah holds, now here's the word that we wanted to see. If the sukkah holds your head and the majority of your body and a table, it's good. It's kosher. Correct. But hold that point. Rebbe Omer Shebe Arba Amas Al Arba Amas. Now Rebbe says no. It's got to be big enough that it's 4x4 Amas. That's the position of Rebbe.
But that's the same that accomplishes
the joint. Give it a moment. Just give it 1 second. V'tanya idach, and we learned in another braisa, Rebbe Omer calls sukkah shemba arba amas al arba amas psula. Rebbe says that if your sukkah is not able to hold 4x4 amas, it's no good. Okay. Now, in the second braisa, Rebbe is consistent with the Rebbe of the previous braisa. That's not what we should be focusing on right now. What we should be focusing on is the next statement of the second braisa. V'chachamim omrim afilu eino machzekes ela rosho verubo ksheira. Even if your sukkah only holds your head and the majority of your body, it is kosher. See what just happened in that second braisa? There's something missing in that opinion of the chachamim. What's missing?
The table.
So the Gemara says, V'ilu shulchan lo katani, kashka na adade. So we have now a discrepancy between the first braisa and the second braisa. In other words, Rebbe is consistent. The inconsistency comes with the anonymous other opinion. In the first braisa, he said the sukkah needs to hold your head, your body, and a table. In the second braisa, the anonymous opinion says the sukkah needs to hold you and the majority of your body.
Yeah, but Rebbe is not arguing the whole about anything about the table or the body or head.
No, he knows.
He's hearing dimensions.
Correct. So Allah Shmamina Abe Shama Abe Silo. So the Gemara says, so how do I explain the discrepancy? Very simple. The explanation of the discrepancy is it's reflecting two different opinions. One braisa is reflecting the opinion of Beis Shammai, that it has to hold three items, your head, the majority of your body, and the table. The other braisa is reflecting the position of Beis Hillel. The sukkah, the minimum area of a sukkah, only needs to hold your head and the majority of your body, and not the table. Good. Amar Marzusha Masis Nami Deka. And Marzusha says, and I'll tell you what, not to try to confuse you, but go back to the Mishnah, back on Dav Chav Ches, and you know what? We're right. That Mishnah is talking about the minimum dimensions of a sukkah. Now, I know the Gemara just argued otherwise a moment ago, but the Gemara says, but there's another point that we need to consider, which is, look at the ruling, the terminology used for the ruling. Beis Shammai says it's pasul. Beis Hillel says, no, it's kosher. The imisa Beis Shammai arman layatsa, Beis Hillel arman yatsa, mi ba'ilei. Now, if what we thought is that the whole debate is, it's a large sukkah, I'm sitting at the edge of a sukkah, the table's in the house, I may lean over the house. That's not a reflection of the sukkah. There's no problem intrinsically with the sukkah. The problem is, quite frankly, you. You are not situated in a good place. You may lean over. So you haven't fulfilled your obligation. There's nothing wrong with the sukkah. Why is the Mishnah using terminology of kasher and pasul? That's not relevant to you. That's relevant to the sukkah. So if you look carefully at the terminology, it sounds, quite frankly, that it's talking about the dimensions of the sukkah. So the Gemara says, ve'elakasha, mishahaya. So the Gemara says, okay, but obviously we're confused. Meaning the terminology used in the beginning of the Mishnah sounds like it's talking about a you problem. Then the Mishnah ends off by saying, be'shamai poslim be'sol machshirim, it sounds like it's talking about a sukkah problem. So la'olam batarti pligi, pligi besukkah katana, pligi besukkah gadola. So the Gemara says, you know what? You are right. And you are right. Meaning, the Mishnah in Chav Ches actually is talking about both cases. It's talking about a sukkah katana, meaning the base minimum area of a sukkah, and the Mishnah is talking about a sukkah gadola. It's talking about a large sukkah. And the problem is, nothing wrong with the dimension of the sukkah, the problem is where you're situated. You're at the edge of the sukkah, eating on a table that's not in the sukkah, that's in your house. So the Gemara says, v'chasur mechzor v'achi katani. And what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to insert into the Mishnah, Misha yarosh aruba besukkah v'shchanan besukkah bayis b'shama omrim lo yatsa b'shol omrim yatsa. So if you are situated at the edge of a sukkah and you're eating on a table that's in the house, Machlok is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai is Machmer, Beis Hillel is Mekel. And furthermore, if the base area of the sukkah can only hold you and the majority of your head and the majority of your body, so Beis Shammai says that's no good, too small, and Beis Hillel says it's fine. Okay, period. Okay, adkan. So that takes us now to the machlokas of the minimum base area of a sukkah, and as the Gemara has concluded, the Mishnah Daf Chav Ches, which actually discusses this issue, is really talking about two issues. It's talking about, one, the base minimum area of a sukkah, where Beis Shammai says it has to hold Rosh Aruba V'Shulchano. Beis Hillel disagrees, Beis Hillel's Mekel, which is pretty typical. And then there's another machlokas over there. What if I'm eating at the edge of a sukkah, and the table that I'm eating on is outside the sukkah? Beis Shammai says that's no good, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. Beis Hillel says that's fine. Beis Shammai has a concern that maybe you may lean over, and Gazrin and Shemi Yimashech, you may lean over and not being in the sukkah, and therefore he disqualifies your sitting in the sukkah. 2 points I'll go over, and then we'll go on in the Gemara. Point number one. As we just noted in the beginning of the Gemara, this is one of those few times in Halacha where we rule like Beis Shammai, where we say that the minimum area of a sukkah has to be Rosho, Rubo, Vishulchano, according to the position of Beis Shammai. Okay? The Gemara ruled. There's not much to talk about.
There's no shiurim for those body parts.
Right, I mentioned that earlier, and that is strange. And I'm convinced it's Zion by Zion, it's 7 by 7. Right, I'm just waiting for the Gemara to actually validate my position. Hopefully it'll come up. Okay, but anyway, the halacha falls like Beis Shammai. Does the halacha and as the Gemara just pointed out, the Mishnah Chav Ches actually speaks out that machlokas, and again the halacha falls like Beis Shammai. So let's ask the following question, and let's just address it briefly. Does the halacha also fall like Beis Shammai in terms of sukkah gedola? Meaning, as we just learned, there's another machlokas also taking place between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and that is whether you're sitting in a sukkah. The sukkah's fine, it's big enough, but you're sitting on the edge of the sukkah and you're eating on a table. And the concern is I may draw after the table and not keep myself within the confines of the sukkah. Is that, in that case, once again, we know that machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel would say that's fine, and Beis Shammai says, no, it's not fine. Do we possibly like Beis Shammai in that case as well? So the Rif addresses this question, and the Rif says, yes, we do. We possibly like Beis Shammai in that case as well. Why? So the Rif says, because I'll tell you why. Because the same principle that gives us a guideline for the minimum sukkah is the same principle in which Beis Shammai says you haven't fulfilled your obligation if you're sitting on the edge of the sukkah. Think about it, says the Rif. I mean, the Rif doesn't spell this out as clearly as I am, but I just, you know, obviously we need to think a little bit harder. We're not as smart. I'm not as smart. The Rif basically is saying, a sukkah katana, what is the definition of a sukkah katana? You, the majority of your body, and a table have to be inside. Why? Why does the table have to be inside? We go back to a question I raised earlier. Why is that a necessary component of a sukkah? Again, the obligation is for you to sit in your sukkah, not the table. So what the Rif basically says is, you know why? Because once your table is no longer inside your sukkah, the concern is that you may actually exit the airspace of the sukkah to follow the table. So in other words, what we see from the minimum area of the sukkah is that the table needs to be inside for the simple reason that if the table is not inside, you may not remain inside. Good. Now take that same principle now and translate it to a sukkah gedola. In the case of the sukkah gedola, even though the sukkah now is larger, but the concern remains exactly the same. Once the table is outside the sukkah, so the concern will be you yourself will follow outside the sukkah as well. So the Rif says that just like we possibly like Beis Shammai regarding sukkah katana, we also possibly like Beis Shammai in terms of sukkah gedola, because quite frankly, the principles guiding both are the same principle. Okay.
The thing is that, you know, the Shammai is concerned that you're going to extend your body out of the sukkah, right? But the point is that when you actually make the bracha lashiv a sukkah, you're making bracha just to sit in the sukkah, and at that
right.
time your body is covered in the sukkah.
Right. So that brings me to the second point, which I'll just raise quickly, and then we'll move on. And that is, and it's a topic in of itself. It's a large topic, right? I've heard a number of people speak about this. What the Chachamim just did is because of their gzeirah, they uprooted your mitzvah, right? In other words, you sat in your sukkah, you're good. Right. You made the bracha, you sat in your sukkah, you're good. But because of the gzeira, essentially what happened now is that the chachamim said to you, no, we're concerned, and because of a concern we make a gzeira, and because of that gzeira, it's as if you have not sat in the sukkah. It speaks to the koach gzeira derabanan, and it's a topic in and of itself, and for another time, not for now. And we go on, and we're now in the bottom of the Amud, and we did bring up the position of Rebbe. Now Rebbe disagrees. Now we don't pass like Rebbe, but Rebbe says that a minimum sukkah has to be 4x4 amos. So the Gemara now wonders. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're on Gimel Amud Aleph. Man Tana Laha Detana Rabbanan. Who is the author of the following brisa? By She'ein Bo Arba Amos Al Arba Amos. A house that's not 4x4 amos. So, to put it simply, it's not a house. Okay? Now, in terms of halacha, what do we care? It is, it isn't a house. So the Gemara says, so now we're going to go over every house halacha we can think of. Although I'll tell you the truth. If you look at the bottom Tosfos, second to bottom Tosfos, you will see that Tosfos comes up with a couple of other house halachas that the Gemara does not mention. But okay, but let's go over as many house halachas as we can consider. Number one, a house that's not 4x4 amos, no requirement for mezuzah. It's not a house. Torah says beisecha min amake. You don't have to build a. I learned a fancy word the last year. It's called a parapet. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but basically, it's the fence around the top of the top of the roof to prevent people from falling off. So again, a house that's not 4x4 amos, it's not a house. Doesn't require makkah. Eidim etame bet negayim, not subject to tumas negayim, right? Parsha's Mitzora talks about a house coming in and contracting tzaras. It's not a house. Even if you see the red and green splotches on the wall, don't worry about it. It's fine. It's not a house. Eino nechla bebate arichama, doesn't fall under the rules of a house in a walled city. House in a walled city. I purchase a house in a walled city. I hold on to it for a year or anything over a year. It's mine forever. But that halacha only affects a house. This structure, which is less than 4x4, is not a house. Doesn't fall under this rule. Ein chozen alav me'orchei al-mechama. Right, you're at the battle, and the Kohen calls out. Anyone who just built a new house can now has an exemption and can go back home. Well, I just built this thing. It's right. I call it my home. You don't get the exemption. that's a tree house. That's not right. That's not right. Ein ma'arvin bo. You don't make an eruv with it. Eruv chatzeros. Ein mishtatfen bo. Shitufei mavo. So we'll explore that later on this morning. Ein manichin bo eruv. You can't put the eruv inside of it. Okay, for those of us who went through Erevin together, we know we're not talking about the string. We know we're talking about the basket of bread that you place inside of one of the homeowners. Nowadays, the minhag is to put in the shul. But in the good old days, you put in one of the homeowners of the chatzer. So you don't put it in this house. Why? Again, same rule, same reason. It's not a house. The Gemara is going to spell all this out. Ein osen oso iber ben shtei ayaros. It can't serve as an extension for any city. We know about city limits. Once again, we went through Erevin. So in a couple prakim in the middle of Erevin dealt with city limits. And once you hit city limit, which is usually the border of the city, so you can't walk 2,000 amas beyond that. What if I have a house immediately outside the city that extends the city limits? What if I have a house between two cities under certain circumstances that can actually combine the two cities together? This shed that's not 4x4 amos can't combine the two cities together. And it's also not to be divided by brothers or partners who are dissolving the estate. Okay. And we'll discuss that later as well. Lema Rebbe Hivolo Rabbanan. So the Gemara notes. So what have we just said in a lot of words? That any structure that's under 4x4 amos, it's not a house. So could it be that this Bryce is authored by Rebbe? Because Rebbe was saying that regarding a sukkah must be minimally 4x4 amos. And anything less than that is not 4x4 amos. So could it be that the author of this price is going like Rebbe? So the Gemara says no. So Rebbe Hivalo Rabbanan Afilo Tema Rabbanan Ad Kan Lo Kamer Rabbanan Hasam Alalinyan Sukkah Didiris Arayhi Aval Agabe Bais Didiris Kevo Hu Afilo Rabbanan Mo Didi Ispe Dala Amos Oda Amos Dairi Ba Inchi V'ilo Lo Dairi Ba Inchi. And the Gemara makes a very simple and basic distinction. A sukkah does not need to be a permanent structure. In fact, the very definition of a sukkah, as we discussed in Daf Beis, is that it should be a temporary structure. So of course the Chachamim will allow your sukkah to be less than 4x4 amos, because by definition it's not intended to be a permanent structure. But regarding all these other halachas that we just went through, so in all these cases, there is a bayit element to it, a permanent structure element to it, and therefore the Chachamim would agree that it needs to be a minimum of 4x4 amos in order for it to be a permanent structure.
Okay. The sukkah, why would there be the argument that they joined it?
I don't know. Right? That's a good question. I don't have an answer. Amar mar pater min mezuzah u min ma'aka ve'in mitame b'negayim ve'in unach le'bati arichoma ve'in chozno l'amirchei achama. My time. So the Gemara picks out these halachas from the Braisa. Right? The Tumas Negayim, the returning of the house, or I should say rather the perpetuity of the house to the buyer in a walled city, the inability to return back from war for this house that's more than 4x4 amos. Why? My time and device ksiv bahu bekulu. So the Gemara gives a very simple answer, because all these are found in Psukim in the Torah, and in all these cases the Torah uses the word bias, and bias by definition has to be a minimum 4x4. Fine. Now we get to the Erev Halachas. Now here you can't point to a pasuk in the Torah, because quite honestly, Erevin is not a din d'araisa. Erevin is a din d'rabbanan. But when the Chachamim legislated the laws of Erevin, they said that if you're going to be considered a homeowner to A, contribute to the Erev, and B, be the depository of the Erev, you have to live in a functional home. Any house that's less than 4x4 amos is not a functional home. Lo chazal adira. Eruv echatzeres ein manichem bo. Avash shitov manichem bo. Now, in terms of being the depository for the Eruv chatzeres, no. In terms of being the depository for the shitov mavui, yes. First of all, what's a shitov mavui? So, I think we just discussed, I discussed this briefly yesterday. In order to be able to carry from the chatzer to the mavui, so there has to be unification of the chatzeres, where every chatzer contributes food to the collective, and the basket then is placed in one of the chatzeres. Here, because we are combining the chatzeros, so there's no need to put the basket in a home. It would be sufficient if we placed the basket simply in a chatzer. And the Gemara makes exactly this point. And that's why if I wanted to put the shituf in a house that's less than 4x4 amos, that's fine. Because the house in less than 4x4 amos is no worse than the actual chatzer itself. My time, and the Gemara makes exactly this point. The logar mechatzer sheba mavoi, did none. The Gemara goes through the mission Erevin. Eruv echatzer is bechatzer shituf, and mavoi is bemavoi v'avinim by eruv echatzer is bechatzer. Meaning the simple pshat in the Mishnah is quite honestly incorrect. It's not true. If you place the Eruv, the basket of collected bread, in one of these non-houses, a shar, achsadra, merpeses, so the Eruv is not good. And if you live there, you don't influence or affect the Eruv whatsoever. There you have no requirement to contribute. And your failure to contribute is not going to affect the Eruv whatsoever. So the correct pshat in the Mishnah, in the Mishnah Erevin, is that the Erev of a chatzer goes into the home of the chatzer, and the shituf of a mavui goes into one of the chatzeros of the mavui. And then the Gemara just simply summarizes its point, and placing your shituf in one of these small little huts that is less than 4x4 is no worse than putting it in the actual chatzer itself. Now, it can't even serve as a connector between two cities. As we pointed out, a small house outside the city, as long as it's within a certain linear distance from the city, will extend the city limits. And under certain circumstances, if I have two cities that are next to one another, right, 140 amos within one another, and there's a house right in the middle, the house actually connects the two cities. So it's one city in terms of my ability to walk on Shabbos. And the Gemara's point is if I have this house that's less than 4x4, it doesn't combine the two cities. Da'afilu keborganin lo mishavinan lei. And it's not even like a borganin. A borganin is like a trapper's hut. My time a borganin chazal mosayu v'haylo chazal mosayu. Because at least a borganin has some sort of function, some sort of use. And this is nothing. This has no function. This has simply no use. And therefore, it's not going to combine the two cities. Okay. Stop over here tomorrow. I'll pick it up tomorrow. We have one more halacha that we need to go over. And that is a home that's less than 4x4 amos and the division of the estate. But it's a longer discussion, and I can't start and finish it now, so I'll start and finish it tomorrow morning, God willing. Okay, so today we started with the sukkah of Hiloni Amalka, wondering what exactly her sukkah looks like, trying to see it in from the terms of the Amoraim that we mentioned back in Dav Beis. Can they justify their position in that Braisa? So the Gemara spent the beginning of today discussing it. Minimum area of a sukkah, the halacha falls like Beis Shammai, one of the rare instances in Shas where the halacha falls like Beis Shammai. Rosho rubo vishulchano, it's got to hold you, the majority of your body, and the table. There's also another machlokus between the two regarding sukkah gedola, where it's a large sukkah, but you're sitting at the edge of the sukkah and your table's in the house. Or once again, Beis Shammai is machim and Beis Hillel is mekel. Does the halacha fall like Beis Shammai in that case as well? So I pointed out that the Rif's position is yes, although I only presented one side of the argument. Other Rishonim disagree. But I wanted to go over the idea that the Rif understands that both Machloksim are based on the same principle. And then we spent the rest of today going over this idea that regarding all other halachas, not sukkah. Sukkah is a temporary structure. So sukkah can be less than 4x4 amos, with exception to Rebbe. Rebbe disagrees with that. But regarding any other halacha that requires a bias, the minimum area of a bias is 4x4 amos. And we went over, right, nearly a minion of halachas where I need it to be a bias. And then the Gemara just went through the rest of today, went through these halachas and why is it that they need to be a bias. Either the word is mentioned in the Torah bias or because of its functional use.